This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, January 11th, 2026. The heart of worship, holiness.
Hey, church family, let's pray together as we prepare to get into the word. Lord God Almighty, we're here to worship you. It's all about you. We pray that your Spirit would open our hearts and enlighten our minds to understand and respond to your holy word this morning. And Lord, to encounter your holy presence. We are totally dependent on you to move in the way that you choose. You know exactly what we need. Every single one of us, you know what we need. And I pray, God, that you would break through in each of our lives to be able to experience the holiness of your presence today and your goodness. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you have heard the song, classic worship song? It goes like this. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Some of you know it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. You know that song? Do you know it? Do you know the story behind that song? So the 1900s, kids, some of us were born in the 1900s here, okay? The late 90s, the glory days, there was a young worship leader named Matt Redman, might have heard of him. He was part of an Anglican church in Watford, England. And they had this dynamic ministry that was just reaching a lot of young people. It was this kind of becoming a movement. And that was a time when like contemporary worship was kind of still considered this cutting edge thing. It wasn't as like common or normal across the board. And so all this was going on. But they made this radical decision one day to strip their services of music for an entire season. So they took this whole time, they got rid of the band, and people just showed up with their Bibles and their voices and nothing else. And Matt, he thought he was out of a job. He didn't know what to do with himself. You know, he was like, what's going to happen now? This guy has written songs that have been sung all over the world by the church. You've sung these songs before. Do you remember Blessed Be Your Name? It's kind of classic, but there's one, Better Is One Day. We still sing 10,000 Reasons here, songs like that. But in this season, he, you know, just kind of did some soul searching with the rest of the church. And he wrote a song that he thought was just going to be kind of his personal journal song, you know, just for him. He thought, well, who could relate to this? You know what I mean? What other church has gone through this? And it was a song called The Heart of Worship. And I remember singing that song as a teenager in Hershey, Pennsylvania, because it went from just being his personal song to becoming like an anthem for the church at that time. And here is how the verse of that song goes. I just want you to hear the words. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. So for a time, that church, they had to forget about the music so they could remember what the music was for. Now, you're going to be glad to know we're not getting rid of music here during this series, as you clearly saw, okay? I'm glad too. But we are trying to just try some new rhythms in worship. Sometimes changing the pace a little bit, sometimes just calming it down. Just to make sure we have our focus. Even when we're at our best and we get it and we know what it's about, like we still need reminders every day, every week, every season. I know I do. Every time I come to worship, every time I preach, or whether I'm up here or out in the congregation, like I need a reminder, like why do we do what we do? And who do we do it for? Advent, we talked about kind of having a reset. And so I think just like that, New Year is a good time to refresh our understanding of the heart of worship. Okay? Now, there are lots of scriptures that speak to the heart of worship, of course, but I think one of the best is in John chapter 4. You might know this story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And so they're in this dialogue, and they start talking about, you know, whether the Jews or the Samaritans have the right understanding of worship. And Jesus just says this in the middle of that conversation. He says, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." We're going to cover lots of themes in this series. There's lots of aspects when we talk about worship. And of course, it's not just what happens here on a Sunday morning, but really, my hope and prayer is that this journey will help us to become those true worshipers that the Father seeks, will help us to make sure we're on that path of worshiping in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in spirit means having an authentic connection with God. We're not just talking about God as if he's not here. We're not just singing about God. We're engaging his presence when we worship him. We're meeting with the living God. It's not entertainment, it's an encounter. Worshiping in spirit, worshiping in truth means worshiping God as he truly is. Not a God we've made in our own image, our own version of whatever. It's not projecting our own agendas. It's not putting ourselves in the center, which is so easy to do. Make it about me and my feelings and what I get out of it. But it's worshiping God as he truly is, as he has revealed himself in Scripture and in Christ, in the gospel, spirit and truth. And so that's our focus today. It's who is this God we worship? It has to start there. Otherwise, what are we doing? Who is he? And I think if we want to orient ourselves to the heart of worship, we have to begin with a theme, with a word that, if we're honest, in our culture today, we kind of have a complex relationship with. We have to begin with the word holiness. Holiness. God's holiness. God's holiness. I'm just going to go ahead and take off my shoes. You know, the place where our mission team is serving in East Asia, there in their church when they worship, they take off their shoes. Whenever they're leading worship, whenever they're preaching. Some of you have met the pastor there, and you remember he preached here, and he took off his shoes. So we believe this is holy ground. We're meeting with God, right? Holiness. And I think one of the best scriptures, at least one of my favorite scriptures about encountering God's holiness, comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah is a major prophet in the Old Testament who ministered during the time leading up to Israel's exile. And Isaiah... he is the most quoted prophet in the Gospels. More than any other prophet, the Gospels quote Isaiah because he had so much to say, so many glimpses of the coming king. Just an amazing book, an amazing prophet, amazing man. And so early on in chapter 6, Isaiah shares this incredible vision God gave him where he suddenly found himself standing in the heavenly temple, like standing in the throne room of God. This is an incredible scripture. So let's just try to see what he saw. Let's open up and let's dig in here. Isaiah 6 verse 1 begins, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Pump the brakes, full stop. Stop there. You get the weight of those words? He says, "I saw the Lord." How many people can say that? How many people, even in the scriptures in the Old Testament, could say, "I saw the Lord"? You know, throughout the Old Testament, people They believed like if they would see God in all his fullness, like with no, you know, veil between, like the real deal, like see him face to face, they thought they would die. Like you just couldn't handle it. Like if our frail, fallen nature suddenly just beholds the fullness of the God of the universe, we couldn't handle it. We'd just be finished. Poof. Like it's over. That's what they thought. But Isaiah, he says, I saw the Lord. So what did he see? What do you want to know? What does he see? He describes it as he goes on, again, picking up on verse 1. He says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, these angelic beings. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. First service, I said, not haze, because I wanted to make our tech team laugh. Smoke. Anyway, sorry. Got to lighten it sometimes. God reveals himself to Isaiah as the high and exalted one, the King of all kings, the Holy One who was and is to come. His throne is unmatched. His royal robe fills the room. All other kings and rulers and powers and thrones are just little derivatives of this one true Lord, this one power that created all things, this God Almighty. And it's one thing to know this and to get the idea of God, but to see him, to encounter him like this, what would that be like? And Isaiah also sees other things. He sees these angelic beings around the throne, these seraphim. We don't know much about them in Scripture, but according to Hebrew understanding, seraphs would be like the highest class of angels because they're closest to God's presence. They're part of the inner circle of attendants around his throne, right? And fittingly, the word seraphim means burning ones. Fiery ones, like they're aflame with the glory of God, passionately praising him, adoring his presence without ceasing. And he notices that they're covering their faces, almost as if to say, we can't even look at his glory up close. We cover our faces and they're covering their feet, as if to say, we can't even stand in his presence. And they're calling out with such mighty praise that it's like an earthquake beneath Isaiah's feet. What a church service that would be. Whew. Consider the worship of these burning ones. Like just think, look at what they are saying, these angelic beings who are in closest proximity to God's throne. What words do they use to describe to one another? It says they're calling out to one another. What words do they use to describe their experience of God's presence? They're saying, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's Revelation. The whole earth is full of his glory. These angels are marveling at the infinite holiness of God for endless generations. And sometimes I just get stuck thinking about a song, or whether or not I got fed, or how it made me feel. Holy. Holy, holy. Holiness is a word that means set apart. You know that? Set apart. And when we talk about God's holiness, what we mean is He stands alone. He's completely set apart from anything, anyone. There is no one like him. There is no one like God, the Lord. No other. No other name. He's the one cause. Everything else is just effect. He's the one creator. Everything else is just creature. Even those angels are creatures. He's the one true God. Everything else is idol. Can you imagine staring into that glory up close? Holy, holy, holy. What is little old Isaiah going to do? How is he feeling? How is he going to respond to this? Oh, that's such a lovely song. How is he going to respond to this? Listen, woe to me, I cried. Woe to me, I am ruined. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Isaiah, he's a holy man of Israel. He's a great man. He's like one of the greatest prophets. But even he, when he sees God, he says, woe to me, I'm undone. Even the highest angels cover their faces before God. But here he is, beholding the King of Glory. And he's like, what am I doing here? What else could you do but just like fall on your face and pray for mercy in the presence of such a holy King? In our fallen condition in this world, we can all too easily walk around blind to the holiness of God. Blind to the reality of his glory and his presence. Like we're just okay. Everything's fine. Sin is just not a big deal. It's all good. But once you see who he is, and even if you just get a glimpse of the magnitude of his holiness, that's when you realize the magnitude of your sin and the distance between you that you're powerless to do anything about. Now watch what God does next. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Isaiah sees God's holiness and his response is, I don't belong here. I'm a sinful man from a sinful people. I'm not going to survive this. And God says, I know. Now let me do something about it. Let me deal with it. Isaiah, he only glimpsed like from far off the promise of God's redemption in Christ. But here in this encounter, he tastes that redemption. He gets to experience how God has the power to transform us. How God desires to heal and forgive and restore us and atone for our sin. One of the reasons I think the angels can't stop saying holy, holy, holy is that the greatness of God's glory is matched by the greatness of his love and his mercy. So great that this God, this one, would want something to do with me, would step down from his throne into the dust to pay the penalty for my sin, to come seeking me after I rejected him, to forgive me after I knowingly trampled on his grace. His love is holy. Even his love is holy. His love is set apart. There's no love like the love of God. And so they keep on singing, holy, holy, holy. There's no one like you. When we come to worship, do we ever forget that that's the God we're singing to? when we go to pray, do we ever forget that this is the God we're about to have a conversation with? Do we take for granted all that he did for us just so that we could, stand in his presence even where angels fear to tread? You know, Hebrews says that because of the blood of the Lamb, because of Christ, we can enter in with boldness. We can approach his throne with boldness because of what he's done. Do we forget that sometimes? I don't think it's just me. Worship involves so many things. And again, we're going to talk about that through this time. But above all, just hear this. Above all, worship should be a regular reminder that the God we serve is so holy that even a glimpse of his presence will blow your mind. Sometimes it's just the opposite, right? Like sometimes we kind of have a tendency to kind of domesticate the God of glory, like kind of tame and like put him in our box. Like worship just kind of gets us going through those motions. And it's like, it should be the opposite. We should be able to just in this rhythm of life where we can regularly be reminded, like the heart of everything is that holy God. And the reason I'm here is to know him and glorify him and worship him. Worship should be a reminder of how awesome he is. And we have to realize that the things we do in worship, we do a lot of different things, right? A lot of great things. It's awesome. It's so cool. It's such a gift. But all these things we do when we gather into worship, they are just signs pointing to the main thing, the main thing. They're just pointing to the main thing. And when we dwell on the performance or the mechanics, and that's all we think about, we're missing the point. It's like, this is kind of a crass example, but when you're trying to train a dog and you're pointing at something, and you know what they do sometimes? They just stare at your finger. It's like when we get stuck on the stuff in worship, we're just staring at this little old finger and not even looking at what it's pointing to. It's like if you were going to the Grand Canyon and you stopped at one of those signs that was like, Grand Canyon, 1 mile ahead, and you got out and you took pictures and you went home and you didn't even see the Grand Canyon. When we get stuck and we fixate on the stuff, we're missing it. It's fine to have like thoughts about it. Like we all have opinions and it's like, it's fine to say, hey, that was an awesome song. Good job. Or good, you know, that was a great sermon. Or, oh, what a nice pastor. Or, oh, that really didn't connect with me today. I didn't really get it. That's okay. That's fine, right? But the number one thing we have to be thinking about is not like, oh, what an awesome song or what a not great service. Like it's what an awesome God. We want to be worshiping in such a way that when we walk out these doors, whatever other comments we might have, and that's fine, but our number one thought should be, what an awesome God. What a holy God. We're just pointing. It's just a sign pointing to the main thing. The main thing. As we come to the table of the Lord, table of communion, let this be a time when you can reflect on the holiness of God and reflect on the gift he's given us so that we could have an unhindered relationship with him, so that we could join our voices with those angels singing holy, 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 so that we could become holy as he is holy. Do you want to know him more today? Do you want your life and your rhythms of worship and devotion to be about not just going through motions, but encountering the living God? Do you want to know him more? Let's refresh the heart of worship. And let's come to this table understanding that the God who gave us this gift is the Holy One, the Lord Almighty, high and exalted. There is no one like him. And we have no business being here except that he said, I've invited you. I want you. I want you. Come. Receive. Let's pray and prepare. We bow before thee, Lord Almighty. Holy God, awesome God. We don't understand you. You're greater than we can imagine, greater than we can fathom. You're bigger than we can even comprehend. But we know that you sent your Son. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not die but have everlasting life. And because of your grace, we can have this relationship with you. We can have communion with your presence. You created us for this. God, I pray that you would work in this room, in these people here, Lord God, whatever we are each dealing with, and you would break through whatever distractions, lies, sins, baggage is keeping us from having a full communion with your presence today, where we are, we can know and be known, where we can come as we are and just bask in the fullness of your glory and your grace, Lord. We want to know you more. And we want to become those true worshipers that Jesus was talking about. Help us today. And so, God, as we get ready to receive your gift here at this table, you've prepared for us the Lord's Supper. We remember that Jesus took that bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took that cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your presence upon these gifts of bread and juice and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can receive the fullness of your presence today. We take a moment, Lord, to just be still with you, to confess anything we need to just let go of and come clean with and be restored in, Lord God. We just take a moment, ask you to search our hearts so we can confess and be renewed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven and free. And let's pray together the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.